and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
Well, as some of you know, the Bishop family has a couple of shows that we often watch towards bedtime to kind of quiet our brains down, like those shows that you really just don't have to think about to enjoy. And so one of those shows is The Office. I don't know if anybody else is an Office fan, but the whole premise is it's like a mockumentary about a struggling paper company where Steve Carell's character is, his name is Michael Scott, who is the manager of this paper company. And man, he so desperately longs to be liked by the rest of the people who are working for him, from the people in the office with him down to the warehouse. And so one episode that we watched not too long ago, all the guys were down in the warehouse while there was like sensitivity training because Michael messed up stuff. And so anyway, so Michael, trying to be the biggest fan of the warehouse workers and bond with them, thought, you know what? A good idea would be to show them that I am so totally with them. I love what they do. I'm going to drive the forklift because nothing could go wrong, right? So he has the forklift. He has a pallet on that forklift. And on that pallet, there is one box of paper. Okay, and so he's driving. Well, let me just play the clip. I'm sorry, I forgot that I even had a clip because I love it so much. Sean, could you play that clip for us? Okay, so I think that's maybe one of my favorite moments where Daryl, the foreman, then says to Michael after he goes, we'll get somebody to clean that up. Does anybody know? Have you ever been in places and times where somebody will do things? Where they will do the things, where we will have someone, because, you know, and then Daryl says, man, we're the ones that've got to clean that up. And as the clip's fading out, he's like, man, we have to have this thing serviced. Like we gotta make excuses. But Michael, being the fan of the warehouse guys as he is trying so desperately to be there with them. And then when things get tough, when there is a mess that's made, he's like, I'm out. I'm done, right? When the things get tough, he's like, oh, somebody else will take care of that because I'm not going to dirty my hands with this work, and then I can make an excuse. And so as we kind of come through this season, as we talk about and continue on and start to wrap up this season that we're calling the Real Good News, you know, we have this experience of Jesus coming into Jerusalem in a powerful way, and what we're going to be talking about for the rest of our time together is the way that we use our palms, as this is a Palm Sunday, and we talk about how there's this, like, ticker tape parade, and I tried to think, what would, like, the equivalent be, and maybe one of the color runs might be that kind of way that we would like shower and praise. And so yeah, that's what's on your bulletin and up there today. But really, that we find out the real good news for the fans and the followers when Jesus calls us to do hard but good things. And so our scripture that Charity read for us today opens up, and Jesus is making preparations for what we in the church call the triumphal entry. Doesn't that sound like a powerful thing? Like, if you're going to promote something, it's not just that, like, Jesus is coming to town. No, like, you have posters, and you go, Sunday, 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 are you ready for the triumphal entry, right? Like, that's what you're doing. Man, there's stuff happening, and it's like, yes, and you would think that there's going to be, like, monster trucks or something, but like, the triumphal entry. And so Jesus is like, let's make preparations. Go get a little donkey. That's a little bit of a juxtaposition, right? Like, all right, we're going to do this thing. A little bit earlier, it says that Jesus resolutely set his face towards Jerusalem. Like, he is doing this thing. There are hard but good things that are coming down the way. Jesus is going to do this thing, and so now is the time. So he asks the disciples to go and get this donkey, and they're going to come out, and there are flocks of people that are coming, and they're waving their palms, and they're throwing their coats down. And this might be the first documentation of the most, like, eco-neutral, eco-friendly parade ever because of the palm branches, right? So they're, like, throwing all these things down, and it's all wonderful, and people people are coming and they're shouting and there's just people coming and flocking to Jesus. I mean, think about it. Like, why do you think that all of these people would have come out to see this really strange parade of Jesus on a little donkey rolling 12-ish deep and then maybe others kind of straggling behind? What would have drawn you to come out if you were hearing about this, catching wind of this, running through the city of Jerusalem, hearing about this rabbi coming? What would have gotten you to stop your day and come over and hear him? What would draw you to Jesus? What do you think? The free wine? My God, you are ready for Game of Thrones. Yes, Barry. The wine, the fish, the miracles, right? Yeah, what else? Yeah, curiosity. You've been hearing about this guy. And so curiosity gets you to kind of peek around or try to sneak through the crowds. Nice. Anything else? Carol? Yeah. Right? Like getting a little bit of that salvation happening, covering your bases, seeing where he's going. Yeah. And he's this wise teacher, this rabbi. And so there's this kind of ethos that's happening, that's spreading throughout the town of this guy who's going to come and he's going to save the Jews. And you don't necessarily know what that means, but you know that maybe you wouldn't have the oppression of the Roman Empire behind you anymore. And so he is going to liberate. He's going to free. He's going to, like, all the hardship that you're having and the ways that you have to kind of keep things on the down low, even though you're just a blip on the radar of this vast Roman Empire, there's going to be victory. And maybe that'll come as political power. And then you look behind this Jesus and you see that there are, like, fishermen and former tax collectors, and they are nobody. And they've got no power. And you think, well, maybe it's this military might that he's going to have, because they clearly knew what military might looked like because of the Roman Empire, so maybe it's that. And so Jesus should be riding in with this weird kind of palm ticker tape parade with this mighty war horse, but instead, it's a donkey. Have you ever been up close? Have you ever tried to ride a donkey? They are gross, okay? Oh, I know, Sarah, I know. They're not as good as horses, though. Is that fair? Okay, whew, okay, good. Okay, so then, yeah, after church, we can just go and rank animals. How about that, right? We're not going to judge right now, but no. So like, there's this weird parade that comes out, and everybody's out there, and there's curiosity, and there's this longing to take a part of the promise of the healing, of the miracle, of the something that Jesus has to offer. All of these people are waving. They are fans of Jesus. They want a little bit of what he's offering or what he's doling out, because they may have heard about the lady who just touched the hem of his garment and was healed. Man, don't you? Like, that would get me to call in sick to work, because I want to go and see what this guy's got to offer. And so what we see is that time and time again, though, like, whatever draws you to him, that the fans don't hang around when the tough stuff starts to happen, that the fans, when all the shelves get knocked over, the fans are going, oh man, somebody better clean that up, right? And the fans, just like the disciples so many times when Jesus talked about that there is this future that he's going to be put to death, that there are all these things that are going to happen, even the disciples, the ones who are closest to him said, nah, man, that's not the way that's going to happen. And Jesus is like, no, for real. Remember, you said that I was the Son of God, and I'm telling you that this is going to happen. And they're like, ah, Jesus, right? Because clearly their liberation can't come but from the way that they understand it to come, because they have one way of thinking. And so one of the things that was interesting in my reading this week was that Jesus in the Gospel of John had just fed 5,000 people. Like, they went out into the desert with him. They forgot their lunch. They didn't care about their lunch. They didn't whatever. And they are hungry and they need food. And if you've ever had like a group of people who haven't eaten for a while, you know that's a little bit volatile. And the disciples want to send them home. And Jesus goes, no, we can feed them. Feeds them with this miracle, right? So all of these fans are with Jesus. And then just a little while later, kind of down in that chapter, he talks about what it is then to become a follower, what it is to kind of be there and do the things that Jesus is calling us to. And it was interesting because John 6:66, everybody who like read a Dan Brown book in their life go, okay, says this. It says that at that point, many of the disciples left Jesus because he goes, this is what it's going to take. And then he goes, they go, I'm out. I just came for the free healings. I'm sorry. I just wanted the lunch. And so 67 then goes, and Jesus looks at the 12, and he goes, you guys going to leave too? Is this where we're going to be? Is this how we're really going to do things? Because I've told you from day one that this is going to be hard, but good. So where are we going to go? And you know, they stay and things like that. But I think that one of the things that we have to realize is that as fans of Jesus, what happens is that we wave our palms and we want to get a little bit of the healing and the hope that Jesus has to offer. But it kind of ends there. And now as we continue on, as we talk a little bit about followers and things like that, like if you're just checking the Jesus thing out, like we know that every one of us starts as a fan going, what does Jesus have to offer? And my prayer is that then we take a little bit of that next faithful step to see what might be explored, the way that we might start to think a little bit differently, because man, it is good and the things that Jesus offer are good and it's exciting and it's different and it calls us to do something different. But when we can only see the possibilities that were at the tip of the iceberg, we miss so much of what is beneath. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about things in my life where I only was kind of enamored by the like tip of the iceberg, and I was missing everything underneath. And really, one of the clearest examples I could think of was when I started kayaking. One of the things that I thought was, man, if I just learn how to roll my boat, I'm good to go. Right? Because, so if you flip over in a kayak, you can't breathe underwater yet because we haven't gotten there in our evolution, right? And so you have to hold your breath. And I thought, well, if I can just get right side up again without having to start swimming, that is it. That is all I want. I will be a fan of kayaking as long as I can get back around. And once that happened, I thought, this is great. But it opened up an entirely new world. That once I started interacting and rubbing against and seeing what the new world looked like, being able to not have to hold my breath until I could, like, you know, not hold my breath anymore, all of a sudden now, like, I could enter competitions where we could do, like, freestyle kayak and where we could do cartwheels and front flips and all this, like, kind of crazy banana stuff. And I can't tell you how many times, though, I would be in exhibitions when I was teaching and doing all this stuff, and like I'd be doing these really pretty technically hard tricks, and then somebody would always come up to the pool and go, that was pretty neat, but can you roll it? And I thought, dude, you're not getting it. Like, we are way past that. But they're going, no, I want to be a fan of this thing. And I'm going, but as a follower, you can do so much more. And I think that that's what so many times Jesus is calling us to, that people are waving their palms going, yes, Jesus, in the good times, I want to be with you. I want to do the good things. I want to see the good things. But you're missing the depth of God's love and hope. And so when we think about this call to go deeper, really what it means is that as followers, we're able to see how the Holy Spirit can take the ordinary and make it extraordinary. How no matter where you've been or your current circumstances or your anxieties about the future, that Jesus is big enough and that God is God and we don't have to try to be. And I think that the depth of those truths are so much deeper than the idea that I was blind and now I can see. They're both really good. But one is really good and really hard work. But when we look at the ways that people are continuing to follow Jesus, we realize some of these characteristics that have to happen of followers of Jesus. And the first one is that followers of Jesus are going to be fueled by faith. They're going to make time daily to get into the Word about being and exploring what God might have in store for them today, because today may look different than tomorrow or yesterday. And so making sure that there is time to be in the Word. Secondly, is that they don't follow at a distance, right? You can't follow someone at a distance, and if you do, it's called stalking, right? It gets really weird really quick. Is that like when our youngest was born, Bethany, I remember taking Eden to church for the very first, actually she was with my parents, and everybody came up to her, and they're like, oh my gosh, your sister is here, and she came back home furious. From grandparents' church. because everybody knew, and it was super weird that they knew that her sister was here and she didn't get to tell them. And so then we like prepped our congregations, Katie and I did, going, do not say that you have seen pictures and make sure that this is the first time, because it feels like you're a stalker, right? You're following from a distance. And so Jesus, though, invites us in and says, come, take my hand. Let's walk this path together. And it's going to be hard, but it's also going to be so good. And so when we walk with Jesus, when we walk with others, when we see that the they becomes a we, our whole conversation changes. And then finally, characteristics of a follower means that we use the tools, the gifts, and the graces that we have, because we know that there are unique gifts and graces that we have that other people don't have, and that we can then come together to do this good, hard work that brings about the transformation of the world. And so even though it sounds hard, earlier in that chapter of John chapter 6, there's this beautiful way that Jesus kind of lays it out, and he goes, yeah, this is hard work. It's good work, but it's hard work. But the people are going, what do we do? And Jesus' response in his teaching, he just says, you know, the only thing that God wants of you is to believe in the one whom God sent. Right? It's hard work. It's good work. But at the end of the day, if we just have enough faith to say, God, you might be doing something through this guy, Jesus, that's enough. That's it. That's the difference between fan and follower. When the people were waving their palms, you couldn't tell one palm from another palm from another palm. And yet, so many times, followers have these unique gifts and graces in a way that, you know, our Celebrate Recovery says that God never even wastes a hurt, habit, or hang up. There's nothing wasted with God. And so as we start to think about this Holy Week, as we start to talk about, you know, what this real good news for fans and followers is that doing the real good hard work will transform us and the world. And so as we close today for our Palm Sunday celebration, we're going to sing a song called Jesus Messiah, which proclaims, it's this bold proclamation of who God is, of this belief, of this kind of living into John 6, 29, that says, man, I'm going to at least come up with just enough faith to say that there is something special about this guy, Jesus. And so we're going to invite you to come, kind of similar to the way that we do communion. We're going to invite you to come up, and then we're going to make, today we're going to hopefully, in my mind we're going to do this. In practice, it might not be. But hopefully, we're going to make our Easter bulletin today, okay? And so the way that we're going to do that is that I'm going to invite you to come up while we sing the last song, and there are like washable markers on the table. And so kind of like my Palm Sunday graphic right there, I'm going to invite you to think about the way that you might be a follower of Jesus this week. And then with one of those markers, I'm going to ask that you write it on your palm. And then can I get a couple of people to like take like one person here, so that we don't have 1,000 people taking pictures, but just to take a picture of palms, and then those pictures will be our next weekend bulletin. Does that make sense? And so like for me, last night I got to have some ice cream with a couple of amazing young people who work with us at camp. And essentially the way that I was being a follower of Jesus last night was that I was a listener. And so I could just write on my palm, listener, and we'll take a picture, and those palms, the way that we use our palms, are going to be the way that we transform the world, right? We can be fans and wave those green palms, or we can be followers and not only join in the celebration, but also say there is much more than just waving the palms, but when things get hard, I'm going to come and do the good, hard work that God has called me to do. Make sense? Let's have a word of prayer. I'll invite the worship team to come up, and then we'll try it out. God of grace and peace, we just ask that you be with us as we go from this place this week. For whether we are fans or followers, God, this is the good work of transformation, that through word and study, we can be with you so that we might know that gift you have for us. God of grace, it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.